Begin. Right? You're invited to stand and do our call to worship. And for those who are new, it's on page, well, hymn 367. All right. If you guys want to start.
There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to list to the clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from this spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
All right. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so now we come to the hymn sing. What's first?
One thirty-eight.
What is it?
138. Oh, for nothing but the
blood. First and last verses.
Okay.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Okay. Please.
487, first and last, please.
487, first and last.
Amazing Grace.
What's that? Yep, there you go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Next.
453,
first and last.
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Okay. Don't hear that one that often anymore.
Okay. Ready? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Here God is marching.
Another? Please.
Well, 500.
500.
Yeah, first and last.
Come on. OK. Might need a little bit of help with this one, at least getting it started.
Come thou fount of every blessing.
never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, find my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
In the garden, 428.
428.
The garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and I walks with me. Talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share
Anymore? Okay. Let us shift to prayer. All right, so I'm going to throw Maui on the list. They are deeply in need of prayer.
Who is that?
Maui? The people of Lanai and the island of Maui. We have some friends, Ben and Heidi, who just had their first baby boy, and Branch has had some difficulty starting out, so he needs a little bit of prayer. What do you have?
We're missing several people today. One of them is Pam Searles. Her husband had a cardiac issue a few weeks ago. He had a stent put in. He came home on this past Tuesday. So he's doing very well, but he won't let his wife leave him yet. So she's staying close by him. That's David Searles.
Okay.
And then also Claudia, who suffered a fall and ended up being a artery that was occluded. A lot of other difficulties have come along, but she is home. She is recovering well. Her family is taking scheduled changes in order to be there, and then we just need to take the time to help her. So that's good. And there's a few others missing, but they're really
those are the big ones.
So we don't need to
okay. Anything else? Praises.
Do I get another one?
Yeah. Oh, as many as you want, actually.
I would like to praise God for the fact that Pam and Dick Matthews, who used to live in Phillips, moved to Carbondale, Illinois 4 years ago, have spent the last week with me.
Okay.
They're visiting, and they've had a really good time enjoying Old Home Days in Phillips, but it's just really been good to connect with them again. It's been a blessing to have them stay with me.
Okay. Any more prayers of praise or otherwise? All right. Let us be in prayer. Father, we bring our prayers before you today, and we pray for our world that seems to be going through all kinds of things. We pray for Maui and the fires and all the people who were lost. All the families who are now having to figure out what's next and are in the middle of their grief. And we pray for other difficulties, for cancer and for difficult births and for all the other things we have going on. I've got a friend who broke his finger recently, Lord, and he needs all the prayer you can give him. Feel silly throwing it in, Lord, but prayers for my water system at the moment. I know that you hear all of it, Lord, and you care about us, and you're good, and everything matters to you. But we also lift up the praises, Lord, for people who have gone through difficulties, for cardiac events, and for falls, and other difficulties, that you would bless them in their healing and lift them up. And we give praise that they are home, and we give praise for the church, and we give praise for this church, and we give praise, Lord, for friends visiting and for the opportunities to meet and mingle with your sons and daughters, Lord. And we thank you for this day that it didn't rain, and we give praise for the days when it does. And we ask that you continue to bless us, Lord. And now we continue, Lord, with your prayer as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And is there a page for this song?
Just words here.
Okay.
That's the words. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Right. And the offering, please. And just this basket, correct?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Okay. And who is reading the scripture today? Okay. Scripture reading?
Would
you?
Oh,
I'm it. Okay. Yeah, if you'd like to.
Perfect.
And I will. Yeah. You've got it right there in front of you, right? Yeah. Yes. All right. So please stand as you are able.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying that what death that he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is in the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines humble as one, not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive. Two, reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission, a humble apology. 3a, ranking low in a hierarchy or scale, insignificant, unpretentious. My father defined humility a little differently. I remember him telling me once that to be humble meant to have an honest assessment of yourself. You were to honestly acknowledge your strengths and your weaknesses, your gifts and your failings, and to present yourself to the world as exactly who you are. I was expected to always strive my best at whatever I attempted and to always own my mistakes. This included gaining an understanding of what my vocation might be, of what my calling was in the world, and that doing that to the best of my ability, no matter how lofty or lowly that calling might be. Humility meant always holding your head up and never apologizing for what God had called you to do. This is not the definition of the world. Although we seem to appreciate people with humility, the definition that is used most often is that of insignificance or unpretentiousness. No one really wants to be humble. They want to be noticed, to stand out, to have the golden buzzer sounded, to win the accolade. The world feels pity or sorrow for those who fall in service or in striving. The world would rather hide its gifts than risk failure. Matthew P. Crawford, a research fellow at the Institute for Advanced Studies and Culture at the University of Virginia, recently noted that our culture does not value the common man. In a recent article, he noted that the world more and more often nowadays sees humans as stupid, obsolete, fragile, and hateful. There continues to be efforts to replace us with artificial intelligence, computers, self-driving cars, and rules designed to pull us in line with their definition of perfection. There's a story recently of Google was testing out their self-driving cars, and they had put this car out on the road, and the car comes to a four-way stop, and it stops like it's supposed to. And then it starts to engage the other traffic. Well, it could not figure out, based on the rules that it had been given, what it was supposed to do in this situation. Now, we all know that it's not only right is our rule, right? But it's also you take a look at each of the drivers, you all eyeball each other, you make a decision as to who's going first, and you go, right? So this car gets stuck in the middle of the intersection, and it stalls out, and it just kind of goes into a freeze, doesn't know what to do. The engineer would later come along and say, people are idiots. So his whole take on this situation was that human beings in general are idiots, and that it wasn't his car's fault, obviously. So our world appears to grow impatient with the pace of human striving and our limitations. And it certainly doesn't understand those who would risk everything for little or no reward. Many of my brothers and sisters in the military and law enforcement are injured serving their country and their communities. Now, people will thank them for their service, and most mean well. But too often, there seems to be this underlying question of whether it was worth it. And why would you do something that would get you killed? Too often these warriors are met with pity or ridicule for believing in service over self. What many don't understand is that we volunteered and we knew what we were risking. We would do it again. And so would Jesus. There are many people who justify their unbelief by asking why a good God would send his son to die. This maligns both God the Father and it maligns Jesus. We often interpret John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, to say that God used his Son like an object or a tool to save us. We miss the wonder of the section from Philippians in which Jesus voluntarily gave up all that he had so that we might share all that all of what he has with him. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus, the most significant being in the universe, humbled himself so that he could share our life and give his so that we could share his life. He did that not out of a compulsion, but out of love for the Father and for us, knowing that it was the only way. Now, I don't know if he knew all the details of that plan, but I know that he knew the Father's heart, and he trusted the Father's plan. We hear in our gospel reading that the people didn't understand, and we know that his disciples didn't understand. Jesus tells them the plan, and Peter rebukes him, which results in Jesus having to chastise Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You see, Jesus volunteered. And he knew what was coming. But he also knew the power of the Father. And he knew that his disciples needed to experience all of what would happen to truly understand both him, both Jesus, and the Father. How many times did Jesus try to tell his disciples who he was, or to reveal the nature of God the Father and himself? Obviously, the people in our reading didn't grasp the power of God or the nature of what it meant to seek God. How many times did Jesus raise people from the dead? There was the son of the widow from Nain. There was the synagogue leader's daughter, Jairus, right? There was Lazarus. I think there are actually a couple more. Now, Mary and Martha knew that Jesus could heal, but for some reason, they had put limits on his power. Oh, he could heal our brother. He couldn't raise him from the dead. If he's dead, it's done, right? They did not see that death was no more difficult a problem for God than healing the simplest ailment, right? Jesus tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also told them that he was the good shepherd, that he was the gate, the door, that he was the light of the world. It is interesting to note that he never told them that he was like these things. I don't think they were metaphors. And Jesus doesn't lie. No, Jesus was revealing the nature of himself and of reality and of the nature of God's power. Now, it seems obvious, but you would think that we would realize that the creator of existence has no limits. Everything is subject to his voice, and Jesus is the Word of God. Somehow, despite Jesus' very plain explanations, the disciples, the people of his time, and I suspect most of us, have missed that Jesus is not the means to an end. You know, eternal life, heaven, salvation. He is actually the end. I know that most of my life I have struggled with the identity of Jesus. He started out as simply the one who loves me. I accepted that, but I have struggled with the nature of our relationship. What did I gain in this life from him? Was there any limit to that love? What does eternity actually mean? As I have limped along through life, I have been pulled towards relationships and vocations and hobbies, initially by what I thought those things would provide. I began a relationship with a wonderful woman in anticipation of a family and love. I sought out a vocation that I thought would be filled with adventure and glory. I began jiu-jitsu simply to learn how to defend myself. Like Jesus, none of these things would be the means to an end. In nearly 61 years of life, I have slowly, very slowly, come to realize that everything we do is about relationships and the process. Yes, I have gained much of what I originally anticipated, but not in the way that I thought that it would actually happen. All of it has required work and has involved some amount of pain and suffering. Some of that because I didn't listen to God, and some the result of learning how to love. Anyone who tries to tell you that love is free of pain and suffering does not understand the nature of love. There is a Christian band called We Are They who sing a song entitled Scars that notes the relationship between the heart of God and the scars of this life and the cross. I'm going to read just a little bit of the verbiage from their song. Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, because without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever, I am thankful for the scars. Next month, I will celebrate 3 years since I left a job that I had pursued for over 31 years of my life. When I began, it was all about pursuing bad guys and seeking justice and defending this nation. Somewhere along the line, I came to realize that like everything in my life, it was actually about pursuing the heart of God. He has been always just a few steps in front of me and with me through every moment. He continues to show me what he told his disciples. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no limit to what he can do or how far he will go to love you. He is with us in every step of the way through darkness and light because he wants to be there. Ultimately, he is the destination. Everything we seek, he is. So I am thankful for his scars. Now I'm going to leave you with one more thought, and I will try and explain a little bit because it's a deep thought. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Tim Keller. He was a pastor in New York City for most of the 31 years that I was serving the Border Patrol. Presbyterian minister and writer. And I think his gifts were his ability to discern what God tells us in his Bible and explain it to us in ways we could understand. But the person he listened to was C.S. Lewis. And he died of cancer recently, Tim Keller. And Tim actually designed his funeral before he died. And he picked all the music that he wanted. We all would all understand that, right? And he also picked some of the things that were read at his funeral. And one of them was a paragraph from C.S. Lewis, From the Weight of Glory. And I would like to read that to you and maybe summarize just a little bit before I close. It is a serious thing to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it right now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all our friendships, all our loves, all our play, all our politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, they are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, whom we work with, whom we marry, whom we snub, and whom we exploit, either immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. And the summary of this is that every human being is immortal. God has told us that we will live forever, whether we live forever in His presence or we live forever in hell, we are immortal. And every interaction you have with every person that you meet is either helping them towards heaven or helping them towards hell. And we need to try to grasp that idea that every human being is of value and is immortal ultimately. May we humbly exhibit to the world that a life in Christ has never been about getting to heaven or about being perfect, but simply about loving Jesus and loving our neighbor as we walk with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'll figure out what I did with my bulletin. Thank you. There we go. Please, as you are able, stand and sing.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song of life.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.